Get your ears wrapped around the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast. All the scoop you need to know, from college basketball to the NBA and even March Madness. News of your rising stars. Topics on and off the hardwood. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast, where we discuss all the news in the world of basketball, NBA, college, high school, whatever it is. It goes down right here at the GSMC Basketball Podcast. We are here recording Wednesday morning, April 5th. My name is Ben Brown. Another fun-filled, action-packed show for you today here at the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast. College is done and over with. Of course, we had our national championship game on Monday. Congratulations to the North Carolina Tar Heels. In the second segment of the show, since I was not here yesterday, I will give you a little bit of my takeaways from the game on Monday. I did watch the game. It was a fantastic game out in Glendale, Arizona. And I'll give you my little takeaways as well as look ahead to what we have next year. I mean, we have like a really, really early favorites for who could be cutting down the nets next year. Also, we will talk about a little bit about the ratings of this Final Four and the national championship game up from last year. I'll give you my theories as to why that might have been the case. So we'll talk about that. But first off, we're going to talk about the NBA from last night. The NBA is really winding down. You know, teams have 4 or 5 days or games, I should say, left before they are finally going to be done or get into the playoffs. So it's definitely interesting. We got a lot of stuff to debate and talk about. Got some games coming up that are really, really important. Got a huge game tonight between the Cavs and the Celtics. They are tied atop the Eastern Conference. So this game will be very, very important for both teams. So we'll talk a little bit about that. We have some news at the end of the day. So it's going to be really, really fun, and we'll see what we got. But first off, let's talk about the NBA from last night. So we'll look at a few games in depth and then just kind of go over some score lines and everything. So first of all, let's talk about Russell Westbrook. He did it last night, getting triple-double number 41. The stat line's not too impressive. 12 points, 13 rebounds, 13 assists. He only shot 4 of 12, so he really struggled from the floor. And he only played 27 minutes because the Thunder absolutely rolled all over the Bucks, 110-79. The Thunder now 44-33 on the season. Russell Westbrook did get his 820th rebound last night, so he's guaranteed to average at least 10 rebounds per game, even if he doesn't get another one the rest of the season. And he is 16 assists away. They have 5 games left. So he needs to average really 3 and then get 1 game where it's 4. But he's got a triple-double in 11 straight games. He needs one more to break the all-time record. He's tied currently with Oscar Robertson. He needs one more triple-double to break the all-time record for the most in a season. Do you honestly think he's not going to go out there next game and get a triple-double? Because he's going to. And even if he doesn't, he's going to get 6-7 assists probably. He's going to average a triple-double. There's no way, unless he gets injured. Well, even if he gets injured, then he's not going to play. So he's going to average a triple-double. The thing is will he get another one or not? 5 games, there's no way. I don't see that he doesn't get one, barring injury, of course. I would hope that would not be the case. That would really, really suck for Russell Westbrook to get all this way, play every single night, and then get injured right at the end. So I'm going to hope that that's not the case. He's going to average a triple-double, and it's just an absolutely fantastic season. I mean, the impact, they've got 44 wins. They're basically locked into the sixth spot in the Western Conference because they are 2.5 games away from the fifth spot with the Clippers, and they're 2.5 games above Memphis for the seventh seed. So, I mean, 5 games left, 4 games left. It's still possible, but you'd imagine they would stay at the number 6 seed, which would bring up some very interesting storylines because the first round matchup will be against the number 3 seed Houston Rockets. The debate all year long has been Harden or Westbrook for MVP, and you would have these two guys go head-to-head in the playoffs. And I realize James Harden's team is a lot better. I mean, the Rockets are a lot better than the Thunder. But James Harden's having a fantastic season. I mean, he's my MVP. I really want to say just so slightly because of the season Russell Westbrook is having. I mean, something one other guy has done in the history of the NBA, and that's average a triple-double. That's what he's going to do. So it's really, really tough to take the MVP away from him. But I got to go with Harden given the fact that he's on a better team. We almost expected Russ to do this. We didn't expect anything that James Harden was doing. So I think that's where I would lean towards. But like I said, you cannot argue with voting Russell Westbrook the MVP. The guy's having a stellar season. He's fantastic. So that's definitely a really big accomplishment. LeBron James, though, another guy who's getting a triple-double last night as the Cavaliers hosted the Orlando Magic. The Cavaliers came out on top 122-102, so a 20-point victory there for the Cavs. LeBron, 18 points, 11 assists, and 11 rebounds. I mean, the Cavs are really rolling along now. I guess they've won 3 in a row, so they're playing a lot better, finally getting those March woes behind them. We'll see how they do here at basically the end of the season. I think this is a really, really big stretch for the Cavs. So they're at 77 games, so they have 5 left. I think these last 5, including the one tonight, which is huge, I think this next 5-game stretch is going to be really big for Cleveland if they can sort of right the ship going into the playoffs because they've really struggled in March. I mean, they were 7-10 in the month, and they were kind of like almost limping in towards the playoffs. Like, everybody's back healthy, but they're kind of sort of getting accustomed to everybody again, getting back up to speed. But they just haven't really been playing good basketball. So I feel like this is a really, really important last 5-6 game stretch here so they can sort of really get some momentum going into the playoffs. Whether they're the 1 seed or the 2 seed, I don't think it really matters that much. Obviously, Boston getting the home court advantage will be big for them because the Cavaliers are a better team than them. So that'd be really big. But I'm not really worried too much about the Cavs, at least coming out of the East. Winning the whole thing, possibly. I mean, I can't ever count out LeBron James. But the Warriors are rolling along great. The Spurs are still tough. And I feel like the Cavs are going to get tested in the East a little bit. I feel like Washington's a good team. Boston's a good team. The Raptors are playing a lot better once they get Kyle Lowry back towards postseason time. They'll be a lot better as well. So it'll be really interesting. But the Cavs played really, really good last night. They won by 20. Kyrie Irving chipped in with 24 points and 8 assists. Kevin Love, 28 points and 11 rebounds. Even J.R. Smith, 5 of 8 from 3 for 19 points. Played really, really well last night, did the Cleveland Cavaliers. And then, like I said, it brings us to the Warriors. The Warriors are rolling right along. They win their 12th straight last night at Oracle Arena, 121-107 over the Minnesota Timberwolves. Steph Curry, 19 points. Klay Thompson, though, 41 points, 7 of 14 from 3. Really, really big game there for Klay. You had Iguodala with 11 off the bench. David West had 7 points off the bench. Matt Barnes had 12 points and 6 rebounds and 4 assists. So, really, really good game for the Warriors. They win their 12th straight, and I've said it, I really feel like they're just better without Kevin Durant. And Kevin Durant is returning probably on Saturday. I think they're playing the Raptors. But they did try to get him back with a couple of games left before the NBA regular season ends. So they could get him up to speed for the postseason, which I think is a good idea. But I feel like the Warriors are definitely better without Kevin Durant. They've won 12 in a row now. They're playing fantastic. Steph Curry's finally becoming the leader and the go-to guy on the team, which he wasn't really the case with KD. Klay Thompson's shooting fantastic. He's saying that the warm weather out here in California is sort of benefiting him and making him play better, which, I mean, I guess you play inside, but the positive atmosphere and it puts you in a good mood. The weather in California last couple of weeks has been fantastic. We're looking at like 75 here in Sacramento, so out in the Bay Area, probably like 70s with wind, which you can't beat. I mean, it's fantastic. We had a really, really wet and rainy winter season, so he's saying that that's the reason he's playing better, and I mean, it sounds kind of cheesy and corny, but I gotta think there's maybe a little bit of truth to that. So, but nevertheless, Clay playing really well. And I think with Durant there, there's just maybe like too many mouths to feed. I mean, Steph Curry wants 20 shots. Klay Thompson wants 20 shots. Draymond Green wants between 6 and 10. And then you have KD who wants 20 shots. I mean, there's no real ball movement and fluidity. And they're playing really well without him. But of course, you have Kevin Durant. You're not just going to sit him or bring him off the bench or anything. You got to play him. So, nevertheless, the Warriors continue to play really well. Last night, let's talk about some other games in the league. The Nets are just playing good. They've won 6 of their last 9. Last night, scored 141 points against the Sixers and beat them 141 to 118. They had a 71-point first half, which is just absurd. The Nets are still 3 games, I guess you'd say, worse than the Suns and the Lakers for the worst record in the league. So, I mean, they're trying to do their best to not give the Celtics the number one pick, but, I mean, it's not going to happen. Like, technically it could, but, and the Celtics could even lose the draft lottery, so, but the Nets are playing really well, 6 of 9 in a row, and that's honestly really good for them. The Wizards win at home 118 to 111 over the Charlotte Hornets. John Wall, 23 points and 13 assists in that game. Kemba Walker finished with 37 points in the loss. The Pacers defeat the Raptors 108 to 90. Paul George, 35 points and 10 rebounds. And there was a really interesting thing in this game at the end of the game. Lance Stephenson, welcome back, Lance, to the NBA. If you don't know, Lance Stephenson is back on the Indiana Pacers. Surprisingly, he signed a 3-year, $12 million deal. I mean, for a guy who has not played all season and has really struggled with injuries, I'm surprised that the Pacers gave him that contract, but Lance Stephenson is back in the league, and this game was out of hand. I mean, they were up by 17, and Lance Stephenson, with a couple seconds left, I should say, has a breakaway, and he actually shot a layup, and the Raptors were not very happy. DeMar DeRozan had some comments to say at the end of the game. We'll talk about that more in depth at the end of the show, but the Pacers do win, and it's their 38th win of the season. The Raptors fall to 47-31. The Nuggets on the road defeat the New Orleans Pelicans 134-131. Anthony Davis, 41 points. DeMarcus Cousins finished with 30 points. So the two big men are definitely doing it, but other than that, they're not really getting much. Gary Harris for Denver, 23 points, 8 rebounds, and 5 assists. The Knicks get a rare victory over the Chicago Bulls, 100-91. The Spurs win again, 95-89. Kawhi Leonard, 32 points and 12 rebounds. Zach Randolph in the loss had 18 points and 16 rebounds. The Jazz defeat the Blazers, 106-87. Rudy Gobert, 20 points and 11 rebounds in the victory there. And then out here on the West Coast, Sacramento Kings defeat the Dallas Mavericks, 98-87. Willie Cauley-Stein had 12 points, 16 rebounds. Ben McLemore also had 22 points, 21 of them coming in the second half. So, really, really big, big game for them, and the Kings are 7-14 now without DeMarcus Cousins. So, we'll take our first break here at the GSMC Basketball Podcast. After the break, we're going to talk about a little bit about college basketball. I'll give you my thoughts on the championship game from Monday. Also, we'll look at how the ratings were affected and how the ratings boosted up during this NCAA tournament. I'll give you some reasons as to why I think that is. And we'll look at a early prediction for some top teams coming in next year. What's the top recruiting classes? Who's going to be returning on some of these guys? We'll give you all that stats next here at the GSMC Basketball Podcast.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching. Hey! The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be.
All right, so welcome back into the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast. We're going to talk a little bit now about some college basketball. I'll give you my thoughts on the title game from Monday night, as well as looking at some of the favorites to come out of the tournament and win it next year. I mean, we have the odds for maybe like 15 to 20 teams, so it's like the Vegas Superbook odds, and it's totally not finalized. I mean, it's really, really premature. We don't even know exactly who is staying and who's going to the NBA and everything, so it's still really, really tough, but we'll, of course, look at some of the early top 25s and some of these favorites to come out of the whole thing next year and win it all. So, I mean, we've got some blue bloods at the top, of course, so no real surprise there, but we'll talk about who we think is going to definitely come out and see what's up. But first, let's just talk a little bit about the game from Monday. So, of course, North Carolina wins 71-65. Really good game, really close game that came all the way down to the wire there. You know, it was back and forth. Gonzaga was winning by a little bit. Then North Carolina, it was a close competitive game the whole way through. And that's honestly what you want to see. That's definitely the best thing for college basketball and everything. And it was a good game and everything. So North Carolina really just kind of had a little more experience there at the end, and I feel like the game really changed when Zach Collins from Gonzaga fouled out late in the second half, because inside, this game was really, really a big man game. This game was back and forth. The big men inside were definitely battling. You had Isaiah Hicks and Kennedy Meeks for North Carolina. You had Shemek Karnowski and Zach Collins for Gonzaga. There was a really, really interior game, and I think definitely the referees got a little too excited. I mean, everyone really after the game, even during it, was kind of bashing them all over the internet because each team had 22 fouls called on them. So we had 44 fouls called in 40 minutes of a basketball game, and that's honestly way too much. I feel like in these big games, referees tend to kind of want to really solidify themselves as top referees because they're in a big moment. You know, I mean, this is the national championship game. They're in a really, really big moment, and they try to maybe do a little too much than they should, call a little more fouls than they should, ticky-tacky fouls. Everything, pretty much everything got called. So I feel like that's definitely something that took away from the game, because it would have been a great, it was already a great game, but it would have been even a better game. So I am unfortunate that that was the case, but like I said, I feel like in times like these, referees tend to get a little carried away and a little out of hand to try to do their job too much, and then you kind of overthink it. So we have 44 fouls called in 40 minutes, and I feel like the game really changed when Zach Collins for Gonzaga fouled out, because Karnowski's a big body, he's a big guy, but he's not a shot blocker like Collins is. And Collins has really struggled to play without fouling all year long. So I wasn't really surprised, given the flow of the game and how it was being called, that he fouled out. But I feel like the game really changed because Karnowski was there, but they didn't really have an answer for Meeks and Hicks inside with their strength and physicality, because they didn't have that shot blocker inside anymore. And I feel like that definitely affected the game and changed it. Gonzaga had a chance. They're down by three. Obviously, Nigel Williams-Goss, who was a little hobbled, had an ankle injury at the end there. He had his shot blocked inside, and basically from there on out, the game was over because North Carolina went down. Justin Jackson made a slam dunk. Then they obviously miss a shot. Then they get the ball and free throws, and then you have the game is what it is. So I am definitely sad to see Gonzaga. I was kind of rooting for them, although I really doubted them all year long. I picked North Carolina, so I was correct on the prediction. Good for me, but I was kind of hoping Gonzaga would win it because the small school, you know, their first ever time in the championship game, first ever Final Four appearance, it would have been great to see them win it all, but North Carolina just had a little more experience. I mean, they were there last year in the title game and lost, so they definitely overcame that, which is great, and they get another national championship. I believe they're sixth, so that's definitely good things for North Carolina, and I'm happy they won, and congratulations to the University of North Carolina. So now let's look at how this game viewed as far as ratings are concerned, because quite honestly, the ratings were up by about 30% from last year, And I think maybe seeing as how last year ended possibly gave them more ratings this year, because people are maybe expecting a little bit of fireworks. You know what I mean? We have Chris Jenkins buzzer beater at the end last year for Villanova. So maybe they're like, oh my God, last year, remember how it ended? Like, I got to watch this year to see what happens. So it was up about 30%, obviously, on CBS. And last year, I honestly feel like we were kind of surprised a little bit, because the games in the national championship don't normally end like that. You know what I mean? They don't normally come down to those stipulations. So I feel like that definitely helped the case this year. I also feel like, given the experience of some of these teams, well, in the championship game especially, and then I guess you can say maybe the Final Four, you had South Carolina, the surprise Final Four team, obviously the number 7 seed out of the East. I feel like that definitely helped the ratings, because people were definitely rooting for them. They were the Cinderella, the underdog, so that's definitely great. And then North Carolina were there last year and lost, so I feel like that brought a lot of people in, because they know some of the players already. They know the guys that were there. Joel Berry, Justin Jackson, Kennedy Meeks, Isaiah Hicks. I mean, all these guys were there last year and suffered heartbreak when people watched that game. So that brought more people in, I feel like. And the same thing goes with Gonzaga. You have experience. Nigel Williams-Goss, Shemek Karnowski, all these guys that have been around for a long time, and the true college basketball fans are going to know them. So I feel like that might have obviously brought more people in this year. And also the fact that the championship game came down to the wire last year and we had a buzzer beater. So it's definitely good. I feel like this college basketball tournament as a whole, now that it's over with, we'll sort of analyze that real quick. I feel like the college basketball tournament as a whole was pretty good. Wasn't as, I guess you'd say, chaotic as we had in the past. Not as many big-time upsets. Not any really true buzzer beaters until the Wisconsin-Florida game. But it's always good. I mean, it's the NCAA tournament's the best thing in sports. You can't expect craziness every year. And we still had some, don't get me wrong. But it was still really, really good. But I say maybe to some of the past and the few, I wouldn't say as crazy. I mean, we didn't have as many buzzer beaters, not as many big-time upsets, really, until the second round when Duke, Villanova lost. So it was a great tournament as a whole, though, and I'm definitely sad to see it go. But anyways, we'll end the segment really quickly after we talk about some of the national championship odds for next year. So we have a 3-way tie atop for the favorites. At 10-1, we have Duke, Kentucky, and Louisville. When you look at some of these teams for next year, I mean, Kentucky are going to lose people like De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, probably Bam Adebayo. But they're bringing in the number one ranked recruiting class, which is pretty standard for Coach Cal. He's bringing 5 top 100 players. Possibly the returns of Isaiah Briscoe, Wendon Gabriel, and Isaac Humphreys in the front court would definitely do them some good, the experience there. Because I feel like Kentucky this year really just, for the most part, a 2-person, 3-person team with Fox, Malik, Monk, and Idris Adebayo. So I feel like some of the other guys that were just minor contributors, they could definitely up their ante and play well to sort of complement some of these guys that are coming in that are going to be one and done. That's definitely a great thing for Kentucky. You're looking at Louisville. I mean, you're going to be losing some guys like Donovan Mitchell and maybe like Dang Adele, but you're still going to bring back a lot of good guys for Louisville. Great coaching as well with Rick Pitino. And then you're looking at Duke. Duke are kind of doing it a little different these last few years. They're really doing the one-and-done situations now. So they're going to bring in a top player like Wendell Carter, Gary Trent Jr., Frank Jackson, Marcus Bolden. You could also possibly bring back both Luke Kennard and Grayson Allen. Grayson Allen, if he returns for his senior year or not, definitely hurt his draft stock a lot this season, given the fact that he tripped everybody and the outrageous burst on the sidelines. And so that would definitely be good. I feel like Duke will definitely be there next year. Kansas are always fantastic. Basically, a team that will maybe could surprise you again is Oregon. I mean, Dylan Brooks is a junior. He could return for his senior season. Tyler Dorsey had a fantastic tournament. He could come back. So Oregon could definitely be back there again next year. So some of these other teams, you have Gonzaga, Kansas, North Carolina, Villanova, all at 12-1. You have Arizona at 15-1. And then you have a lot of teams at 20-1, including Michigan State, Michigan, Indiana, and Florida, and even Wichita State. Wichita State should be a really, really good team for next year, bringing back a lot of talent for that team that won a game in the tournament, pushed Kentucky all the way to the end. They were 31-5 this season. So Wichita State, always a good job. And we'll see, obviously, probably Greg Marshall is going to be staying there now that the Indiana job is done and over with Archie Miller. So we'll see what happens, but it's going to be a while. Obviously, not going to talk a lot of college basketball again until November, but it's definitely it was a great season overall. I thought college basketball was fantastic again, and I'll be looking forward to next year. We'll take our last break of the show now. After the break, we're going to talk about some news in basketball. We'll talk a little bit more about this whole Lance Stephenson issue with the layup with the few seconds left. Steve Kerr is planning on resting some players against the Suns. And tonight, big matchup, the Cavs and the Celtics. We'll talk about that as well as the rest of the games in the NBA here at the GSMC Basketball Podcast coming up next.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
And welcome back into the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast. Talking a little news here. The Warriors, Steve Kerr has said that prior to yesterday's game against the Minnesota Timberwolves that he is going to rest Draymond Green and Andre Iguodala for tonight's road game against the Phoenix Suns. Iguodala is accused of been taking nights off in the league, but it isn't really much the case for Draymond Green. But he said that that Draymond really could use a night off. Some of his coaches have told him that. His numbers are really showing that. So he talked to him, and he thinks he does too. So he's going to be taking the night off, and they're playing the Suns tonight. I mean, without Draymond Green and Andre Iguodala, you'd imagine that they're going to be okay. The Suns have the second worst record in the league. And the Warriors are just one win away from wrapping up the number one seed. So either a win or a Spurs loss. So you have to imagine they're going to get the number one seed for sure. And then from there on, it's not really that big of a deal. They're not really chasing any records this season. There's no real indication of that they're going to be playing at the end of the season, except for maybe Kevin Durant trying to get him back into the side of the fold of things and everything. So there's no really any need. So I would assume that the Warriors would take a lot more days off, given the fact that last year they went and really pushed for that record, and I really do think it had an effect on them come the postseason, and they really kind of, not to say struggled, but it definitely showed an effect that they were getting a little tired at the end, and the fact that they had to really try to get that record and push so hard really affected them. So I'm not surprised that they're going to take some days off. I would imagine you'd see Steph Curry and maybe Klay Thompson taking more days off at the end of the season, last couple of games as well, once they wrap up the number one seed, because they're definitely going to. So also, we have some breaking news into the show that Caleb Swanigan, the sophomore forward for Purdue, has declared for the NBA draft, although he is not going to hire an agent. So that means he could come back after an NBA draft combines and some workouts, sort of get a feel of where he might get drafted. There's always, you know, a decision of when you need to declare by a certain date, but then you can always return as long as you don't hire an agent. So that's what Swanigan is doing. He have led the nation in double-doubles, also the Big Ten Player of the Year. So definitely a good idea to sort of test the waters. He did that last year and then came back, and now he's going to do it again this year. So a good idea there. So Tristan Thompson as well, some breaking news on there. He's going to get an MRI on his thumb, injured his thumb last night. Probably not going to play tonight, of course. So MRI on his thumb, that'd be a big injury for the Cavs if he's out a while. It'd be a big injury tonight against Boston. I feel like it's a huge game for Boston to try and get a game up on the Cavs and try to get that number one seed. Not so big for the Cavs. I mean, if they get the two, it's not that big of a deal. Still have LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love. I think they'll get to the NBA Finals. But it'd be a lot bigger of a victory for the Celtics, who are at home. So we'll see how that goes. And then we'll talk about a little bit about the Lance Stephenson whole thing before we end the show here. So as I mentioned, Lance Stephenson was there up by 15 where the Pacers. Welcome back, Lance, back on the Pacers now. Had a good game, had about 12 points. So with about 3 seconds left, up by 15, he has a breakaway. He takes a layup. Basically, he said any apologies after the game, but he said that he did it because, you know, the fans were really cheering for him. It was a really emotional return. He almost cried at one point when he checked in the first quarter. And he was just trying to help them and really do it for the fans, which I kind of understand, but it's a little cheesy. You know, DeMar DeRozan after the game called it classless and tasteless, and it was disrespectful to the game because, of course, you usually just dribble the game out. And he and P.J. Tucker were really, really upset at Stevenson for doing so. And I kind of think that this is – I kind of like this from the Raptors. It shows their little heart, a little fire in their team, not going to sort of take anyone's mess. And that could really help them come postseason time. They're the four seed, of course. So you're looking at a second-round matchup of either Boston or Cleveland, depending on who gets the number one seed. And that'll be really interesting. I feel like once they get Kyle Lowry back, there'll be a tough out. You know, with Serge Ibaka, they've really been a lot better defensively. So we'll see what happens, but it was kind of, you know, a little cheap, but Stevenson did apologize after the game, so it's not that big of a deal, and everything will be okay. But I really like this from the Raptors. They're really not backing down, showing some fight in their team, which is obviously good. So that's going to be it for the show, guys. Of course, my name is Ben Brown. I'd like to thank you once again for listening here at the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast. We are going to be out of the studio today. Now, we're going to be back tomorrow. Pauline will be here, and then Friday, I'll lead you into the weekend. So thanks for listening, guys. Have a good day, and we will see you next time here at the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.